Welcome to the Starving Writer Podcast. I'm Jess, and I am not an expert. I don't have any amazing tricks up my sleeve that will help you become the next New York Times bestseller. I don't have any secrets or quick fixes that will move you to the fast track. If you're looking for shortcuts or insider information on how to become the next J.K. Rowling or E.L. James, this isn't the podcast for you. However, if being a writer isn't something you choose, but something you are, if you write because you can't not write, because doing something, anything different makes you feel like a shell of yourself, then you're in the right place. That's where I am. And I'm going to share with you all of my struggles. Every low down dirty detail, every failure that I face, as I wade through the hot mess of confusion and self-doubt, on my way to becoming the thing I've been dreaming of since I was 7 years old, a writer. Let me be clear. I am going to make mistakes. I'm going to fail. I'm going to fall on my face so many times that I'll think about giving up, about giving in. But I won't do it. And it's my hope that you won't either. Episode 1. You are a writer, and you aren't normal. Hemingway once said, "There is nothing to writing. All you do is sit down at a typewriter and bleed." This pretty much sums up my relationship with writing. I have moments when the muse hits and the world seems to flow from my fingertips. I can't type fast enough to get it all out. I wake up in the middle of the night with brilliant ideas, and nothing short of jotting them down will let me get to sleep again. Then there are those moments where no amount of journaling, wordplay, or creative mind mapping will help me. I'm frozen, sitting in front of a blank screen while the blinking cursor mocks me. I know logically that the mojo will come back, that I will write again and write well. But during these moments, the old fear hits, and my mind becomes a swirling mass of confidence-killing phrases. I think things like, "Yeah, you're a writer," or, "I don't know why you're killing yourself over this, Jess. It's not like anyone really reads what you write anyway. You should just go get a job like a normal person and be done with it." But I won't get a normal job like a normal person because, frankly, I am not cut out for that. I tried the 9-to-5. I climbed the corporate ladder. I sat at a cubicle calculating numbers day in and day out for over 8 years. And every day, I felt myself dying a little more on the inside. This may sound dramatic, but I used to live for those 2 to 3 hours in the middle of the night after the kids had gone to bed, when I could finally be myself. I wrote and wrote and wrote until my fingers ached while the rest of the world fell into a heavy sleep. I used to churn out a chapter a day, over 18,000 words a week. But now that I'm actually doing what I always dreamed I would, I'm lucky to hit 1,500 on a good day. And I'm struggling. The car I drive is a joke. So much so that I pray every time I get behind the wheel, just that it will start up. I dread the first 3 and last 2 months of school, because this is fundraising time for my kids. They come home with magazines full of wrapping paper that costs $40 a roll, or cookie dough at $20 a tub, and yeah, that is not that much. But when it's every 2 to 3 weeks and you're buying one for each kid, it's the same as a light bill, or at least a good portion of the light bill. Then there's the extracurriculars, baseball, soccer, guitar lessons, and before I know it, I am seriously considering that Craigslist ad offering $300 for an unspecified amount of erotica novellas, and feeling really, really dirty on the inside for thinking of it. I'm usually late on my rent. Scratch that, I am always late on all of my bills. There was a time in the not-so-distant past when I couldn't even afford to buy myself a pack of razors, for God's sake. I actually stood there in the grocery aisle with a pack of tampons in one hand and a $1.50 pack of those, yeah, you're definitely gonna cut yourself with me, pastel razors. You know the ones I'm talking about, ladies. And I was trying to calculate what my next menstrual cycle would be because I knew that I couldn't afford to get both. A few weeks after this debacle, I ended up meeting up with my best friend. We'll call her Dee. She was having trouble trying to figure out what she wanted to do with her life. She'd gotten her BA and landed what she thought was her dream job, only to find out that they weren't going to be letting her do any of the really cool science-y stuff she went to school for. When she told me that she was proud of me, that she wanted what I had, I nearly spat out my caramel macchiato all over the place. Why in the hell would you want that? I'd asked. Because you're doing it, you know? You're doing your own thing and supporting your family with what you love. I want that. I remember laughing and thinking, girl, I've got Sasquatch legs and cardboard tampons. No one wants that. But her conversation did get me thinking. She was right. I am doing my own thing. And pretty much everyone around me, except for her, has told me not to. When I tell people that I write for a living, one of two things happens. I might get the old, wow, how many books have you gotten published? To which I respond to with a, none. To which they respond to with a condescending, oh, and quickly lose interest. Or, if I just say that I'm a freelancer, then they'll say, oh, so you stay at home. By the way, the appropriate response in both cases is, fuck you very much, while performing the hair flip to end all hair flips and sashaying your fabulous ass out of there. I usually don't have the guts to do this, though. I was once even told that I had no right calling myself an author because I hadn't gotten any books published. I responded to this by requesting that the person in question look up the definition in a dictionary and get back with me. In case you're wondering, an author is defined as a writer of a book, article, or report. Hell, technically, I was an author after my first book report in fifth grade. Maybe even before then. But, like I said, Dee is right. I'm doing my own thing, blazing my own trail, and I should be proud of that. So I haven't found my groove yet and made $1 million. I'll probably never make $1 million, but that's not why I started doing this to begin with. I started writing because it's who I am. Writing is so much a part of me that if I don't do it, if I go a week or more without it, I actually suffer. I get all stressed out and weirdly neurotic, like a junkie needing a fix. I have to write. It's who I am. There are no other choices for me. Coming to this realization took a lot of time. Years of searching for what, that thing that I was missing, only to realize that it was right there in front of me all along. And the second I knew, really knew, that this was it for me, it felt like a weight had been lifted off of my shoulders. Like I could finally see clearly for the first time in my life. I wish I could tell you that this moment lasted, and that if it ever hits for you, everything will click into place and you'll know exactly what to do, how to do it, and then you'll ride off into the sunset with all the tools and wisdom you could possibly need in order to conquer this writing thing. But that isn't the case. The truth is, knowing what you are meant to do doesn't take away your self-doubt. It doesn't get rid of the uncertainty or the fear. I am constantly second-guessing myself. Constantly afraid of making the wrong decisions, of being rejected, of failing spectacularly. But that's normal. And you know what? You're doing something that 90% of the population will tell you isn't worth it. Most people out there will never realize their dreams. They'll never go after what they want because it's easier not to. It's easy to walk the same line everyone else is walking. It's easy to listen to what parents, teachers, and friends tell you you should be doing. It's easy to give up when things get hard. You know what isn't easy? Risk. And following your dreams, whatever they are, involves risking yourself. Writing is especially risky, Every article pitch, short story submission, or blog post is a risk. Every word you put down on a page is a risk. Even the act of not sending in submissions is a risk. Pretty much every decision you could possibly make regarding this industry involves risk. You risk your confidence, self-image, the passion and joy you have for writing, and you do this every single day, repeatedly. If you aren't afraid of being a writer, then you're either an alien or you haven't written anything worth writing, because trust me, the good stuff is the stuff that comes from your soul, from the core of your being. It's your blood on the page, and you have to share it with the world. That is terrifying, but it's worth it. Why? Because you are a writer, and there is nothing else for you to do but write. So you write. Against the advice of family, friends, and colleagues, you write. In spite of the uncertainty and mind-numbing fear, you write. Regardless of how much money it's making you, you write. No, that's not normal, and it's not easy. In fact, it's difficult as hell, but you're a writer, so write. Being normal is overrated anyway. I hope you guys have enjoyed this first episode. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email me at thestarvingwriterpodcast@gmail.com.